Hebrews chapter 12 there. If you still have your Bible, maybe you can look at that again. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Those weights, there can be weight and sin and things that just hinder us from running the Christian race, can't there? Well, we need to lay that aside and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him." That's going to be our theme for next year. Consider him. Consider Christ. "Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask you just to bless this time together this morning as we come to study your word. Would you use it, Lord, to speak to our heart, to challenge us and to encourage us to be faithful runners in the race that you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This passage of scripture likens the Christian life to our running in a race. But this is not a sprint race. It's not a 100-meter dash. It's a marathon. It's a test of endurance. We have to consider him, and we're supposed to endure. We're to keep pressing on. We're to keep running on. It's not just a short race. It's not a 150-meter hurdle race where there's some difficulties. It's like a marathon hurdle race. It's a race that will test your endurance. It's a race where there'll be some hurdles to overcome. There'll be obstacles to overcome. It's a long 10-mile run filled with many hurdles, many obstacles, many hills, many ups and many downs. It's like a cross-country marathon, if you will. To run a marathon requires a lot of training. It's not just a sprint race where a person is going to give all their energy for 100 meters and then it's over with. The sprint race, I've kind of read or heard this before. I think the sprint race is something that at the times of the Olympics, Summer Olympics, probably gets more attention than any other event. It's kind of one of the big events in an Olympic Games where a lot of people will be watching. And one of the biggest stadiums that they'll have, it'll be run in the big stadium. And lots of people will be watching on television. But it's a race that takes 10 seconds. They give everything they have for 10 seconds and boom, it's over with. The Christian race isn't like that. Sadly, sometimes there are people that they run, they give it all they got for 10 seconds, you know, comparatively, and boy, that's it. And then they're done. They don't keep running the race. They don't keep going on for God like they should. A marathon requires strength and endurance. A marathon runner has to train himself to run long distance. And they may begin when they're young by running a mile a day and then later start running 2 miles a day and then 3 miles a day and then 4 miles a day and then 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and more and more and more beyond that. And so they can train themselves to have the endurance and the strength and to be able to press hard when they're running that marathon race. That's what the Christian life is like. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. The Christian life is supposed to be for life. For life. Some people think the Christian life, or it seems like they think, the Christian life is for a few weeks, or a few months, or a few years. No, it's for life. It's supposed to be for the rest of your life. There are many different types of people who are part of this race. Let me share some with you. Number one, there are those who have never begun the race. There are those who have never begun the race. Why do I say that? Because there are those that have never been saved. They've never been born again. So they're not on the same road as those that have been born again. You have to first be saved to be in the Christian race. You have to be born again. You have to be a child of God. If you're going to run the Christian race and run for God and live the Christian life, you have to be born again. You have to trust that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Those of us who are running the race need to tell others about Jesus too and encourage them. Trust Christ as our Savior and get in the race. It's a good race to be in. It's a good race to be in to know that the end of your road is eternal life. The end of your road is a home in heaven. The end of your road is the blessing and reward of God. Knowing that you please the Creator and the Savior, the universe. There are sadly some who have never begun the race. Secondly, there are those who have never started running. What do I mean by that? I mean there are some who are not growing like they should be. They got lined up. They got all dressed up.
You know, they got their uniform on thing. They got their number. They were going to start that marathon. And they lined up for the start of the race. And the person that was going to shoot the shotgun and start the marathon. And they got all ready, but they never really started running like they should.
Maybe they moved a few steps, but they stopped. Perhaps they were unsure if they really wanted to run the race. Perhaps they got saved, but they stumbled and they're not sure what level of commitment they're willing to make for Christ.
You know, the Bible talks about people like that, I believe, even in the parable. Parable of sowing. You know, some takes root and begins to grow, but then just flourishes out and dies. People need to keep running. Keep running.
There are many different types of people who are part of this race. Number one, there are those who have never begun the race. There are those who have never really started running the race like they should. Number three, there are those who started to run, but they've quit and fallen to the sidelines. There are those who started to run, but they've quit and fallen to the sidelines. There are some who have gotten saved and gotten excited and started to live for God. They took off from the starting line like they were running in a sprint. And they started to grow. And they started to get excited about the things of God. And they maybe started to get involved or started to come to church or started to read their Bible. But what happened? They've quit. Or they've fallen to the sidelines. And they're no longer running the race. Perhaps they forgot to take time to read their Bible. Perhaps they didn't listen and heed the preacher's warnings about sin. Perhaps they didn't take time to pray and thus they don't have strength like they should and they just stopped running. They were running as if they were in a sprint race and they were maybe even going too fast for God. Why is there some who have started to run but they've quit and fallen to the sidelines? Probably everybody here knows some like that. Maybe you know a relative, maybe you know a friend, maybe you know someone who they started in their Christian race. I can think of some even right now here as I'm looking at you. I can think of some that maybe we're a friend to you or maybe we're a relative or maybe we're whoever. And they started, but it seems like they've just fallen to the sidelines. And they're not running the Christian race. They're not. Do I doubt that they got saved? No. I believe they got saved. But right now they're not running for God. They're not in the race. They've just fallen to the sidelines. Well, we're all capable of falling out of the race. We need to guard ourselves. We need to be so careful. We're all capable of falling. We need to guard ourselves and stay at it in the race. In Galatians 5, 7 and 8, it says this, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." The Bible, Paul talked to some and said, you were running well. You were running in the Christian race. We didn't even understand. This can happen to everybody, anywhere. When we look at the church at Corinth, aren't they an example of people who Paul talks about them, how they were just acting like babies in Christ when Paul said you ought to be far more mature. You're still acting like babies. You're still acting carnal. You're not growing like you should be. Paul says it to the Galatians. You started well in your Christian race. You started running for God. You started living for God. Who hindered you? What hindered you? What stopped you? What got you out of the race? Why are you not living for God now like you should be living for God?
It says that persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It's not God that persuaded you to quit. It's not God that's caused you to stumble. And the truth of the matter is that every Christian has an adversary, the devil, who wants to keep us from running the Christian life. The devil is not happy whenever somebody gets saved. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you got born again, Michael Jr. made that decision last Sunday after church. That's a good decision. We're proud of you, Michael. And some of you were left and gone, but we talked for a while and he made that decision, trust Christ as his Savior. Listen, the devil's not happy about that. The devil doesn't want you living for Christ. The devil doesn't want you living for God. And he'll try to knock you out of the race. You're getting started in the race. But he doesn't want you to live for God. When you get saved, he's also unhappy about it. He'll still do what he can to knock you out of the race and keep you from living for God. Why? Because when we don't live for God, we'll miss God's blessings. When we don't live for God, we won't help anybody else to live for God. When we don't run the Christian race that God has for us, we'll miss out on the things that God had intended for our life.
We have an adversary, the devil, who wants to hinder us and keep us from running the race in the Christian life. Satan knows he lost you when he got saved, but he'll do everything he can to keep you from living for God.
He'll do what he can to keep you from being a productive Christian. Satan will do everything he can to try to knock you down, or to try to make you stumble, or to try to make you fall, or to try to make you quit, or to try to put you on the sidelines and try to keep you from running that Christian race. You know what? He doesn't mind if you're sitting on the sidelines and you've got your racing uniform on and you've got the number there. As long as you're sitting on the sidelines, he's happy with that. Because you know what? You're not running the marathon. You're not in the race. You're not doing what God wants you to do.
There are many different types of people who are part of this race. Number one, there are those who never began the race. There are those who never started running. There are those who started to run, but they've quit and fallen to the sidelines. Number four, there are those who have run faithfully and now sit in the grandstands of heaven watching the race. The Bible described it there.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He was reminding God's people that, hey, there are some that have run the race. And in Hebrews, he, of course, goes back in chapter 11 there. He just talked about some of the great giants of the Old Testament. Talked about their faith in God and what they did for God and so on. He said, they're in heaven now and they're watching those Christians running today. Listen, there are some that have run the race and they're in heaven now and they're watching you and they're watching me. As we try to run our race.
I think about my dad. He went home to heaven in 1984. 31 years ago. A couple weeks ago. November 22nd. 1984. My dad went home to heaven. He was a faithful servant of God. Who had run his race. I don't know why his race had to end there. As a 45-year-old man. But God knew. And that was the race that God had for his life, and he ran it faithfully. He'd gotten saved as a young person and got involved serving the Lord. He was a witness for Christ. He was a Sunday school teacher. He was a hard worker. He was a giver. He conducted children's church services with hundreds of little children. I've told some of you before, we were just simple people. We were country people. He was a farmer from generations of farmers. But he loved the Lord and served the Lord. And he ended up learning gospel illusions and so on, gospel magic. And used that some to teach object lessons to children with cords and ropes and boxes and colors and things. To teach lessons about the blood of Christ and the gospel of Christ. And hundreds of young people were taught and influenced. And he learned, he made a dummy. He made his own, you know what a dummy is? One of these things you can hold it and your ventriloquism, and you're talking here for the dummy. It's his wife or something. You're talking for the dummy. He learned ventriloquism, and Tom's will do that and use that. And of course, it was a powerful tool to hold the attention of hundreds of children. And God used him. God used him. He would preach sometimes. My mom and dad worked a bus ministry. They brought hundreds of people to church. Their lives influenced hundreds of people for Jesus Christ. Listen, my dad faithfully ran his race. But one day there came a time where God said, you finished your course. This is your finish line. It came rather abruptly. We weren't expecting it. But he ran his race and he ran it for God and did what God wanted him to do. And then God took him home to heaven. He's there in that cloud of witnesses now. I think of my grandpa who went home to heaven in December of 2000. He'd faithfully run his race. He had just reared his children to live for God. He was faithful to church. He taught Sunday school and tried to win the lost. He ran his race, and now he sits in the grandstands of heaven watching us as we run our race. I think of the Apostle Paul. His life was a marathon. It was not a sprint. It was no easy Christian life. It was a test of endurance. Paul knew that he was running a race, a hard race, a race that had a lot of uphill struggles, a race where he had sometimes those that would persecute him and weren't for what he was doing. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 4, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's all I'm interested in. I'm interested in you finishing your course. Finishing your race. You know what? The race that you're going to run is not the same race that I'm going to run. God knows how long my race is going to be. God knows what He's called, the things He's called me to do in my race. But every one of us needs to run our race and do what God wants us to do in the lifetime that He gives to us.
There are many that have gone before us who have finished their course and they've kept the faith. There are those that have faithfully run the race and they're now sitting in the grandstands of heaven and they're watching the race and they're cheering on for you. Hey, Ashley, BJ, you've got a grandpa and even a great-grandpa. You never met your grandpa, you never met your great-grandpa. But you know what? You've got them up in heaven and they're cheering you on that you would be the teenager and be the man and be the lady that God wants you to be for Christ. All of us. Whether it be Old Testament saints, whether it be New Testament saints, whether it be that you have some Christian loved ones that have already gone to heaven, there are some that are cheering you on from heaven to run the race that God has for you and do what God wants you to do. Number five, said there's some that have already run the race, they're in heaven. Number five, there are those who are now excitedly running the race. There are those who are now excitedly running the race. Thank God for those in our church that are excited about the things of the Lord. Thank God for those that are excited of living for God. Thank God for those who are encouraging others to be saved and run the race also. Thank God for those who are running and going forward and trying to grow in their Christian life. There are those who are excitedly running the race right now. You know, there's going to be times in this race where you're tired and weary. We can't read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 to 3 without seeing that. You know, Christ ran his race, but he faced a lot of opposition. He did what the Father wanted him to do. Paul ran his race, but boy, there were times where he faced the thorn in the flesh, or times where he faced heartaches and persecutions and difficulties. You know, there may be times in your Christian race where you become tired and weary. You know what you need to do? Keep running on. Keep running on. That song I sang a little bit ago, it was written many years ago by a teenage girl at that time in Niagara Falls. When her family was serving the Lord, but her brother got away from God. Her brother, as an older teenager, stopped, just kind of went away from the family and stopped living for God like he should. And she wrote that song really to be an encouragement to her parents to keep running on. Keep running on. I'm sure that was hard for parents and what they were going through and the heartache they must have felt. But they had to keep running on. There will be times, and by the way, later they kept running on. They kept serving the Lord, and years later the son came back to the Lord and lived for the Lord again and is still doing so today. Listen, there will be times in the course of your Christian life when you want to faint, but just keep running on. There will be times in your race when you face hurdles and obstacles, but just keep running on. There will be times when you're running the marathon that you're in a valley and you're facing a big hill. Boy, I wouldn't like running a cross-country marathon with big hills up there. I'd be ready to faint, ready to give up. And sometimes in your Christian life, you might think, I can't cross that hill. I can't make it up that hill. I remember one time when I was a teenager, and they did this activity with the teenagers to go bike riding. And you know, I wasn't as big as I am today, but I wasn't necessarily a teenager who was, you know, in super shape, this complete workout freak who could do anything. Boy, we went bike riding and all these big hills. I hated that. That was the most miserable youth activity of my life. I mean, I had to get off the bike and walk up a lot of those hills, and man, miserable. Listen, sometimes in your Christian race, you might think, I can't make it. There's difficulties. You face some hard things maybe with your family or just in your Christian life or in struggles or things you go through. And I think I can't make it. Keep running on. Keep running on. There'll be times in your Christian life that seems like you're carrying a heavy weight or a burden. Just keep running on. There'll be times in your race when you have burdens and struggles and difficult circumstances. Hey, keep running on. Keep running on. Miss Lillian's not here this morning, but you know, I would encourage her to keep running on. She, one of our faithful Filipino ladies, and it's her sister that recently had a baby. Miss Lillian's a young lady in her 20s still, I think. She's got glaucoma. It's a serious eye disease that sometimes older people have. For her to have that as a young lady, what a hard thing it is on her. I heard this morning that she has a carpal tunnel that's bothering her hands today. She's in a lot of pain. Boy, that's a terrible thing. Sometimes pianists eventually get that when they're old. But boy, for her to have that and some of these health problems as a young person, sometimes things like that would make me just, you know, want to give up. But
What do we need to do? Keep running on. Keep running on.
Keep running on. You may have your own difficulties and your own burdens and your own struggles and things that are burdens on your heart, but keep running on for God. There are going to be times when Satan tries to discourage you and Satan tries to get you to quit, but just keep running on. Let me share with you quickly this morning. Why should we keep running on? Why should we keep running on? We know there's those running in the race, and hopefully you're one that's running in the race and you're excited today and you love the Lord. But there's going to be times when you feel like giving up. There's going to be times where Satan tries to knock you down. There's going to be times where things come that try to take you out of the race. And I want to encourage you, why should you keep running on? Number one, because there are those who have already run where you're now running. There are those who have already run where you're now running. I understand the course is kind of individualized. Every one of us doesn't necessarily run exactly the same race, but there are others that have gone through what you're going through. Of all the generations of Christians, of all the Christians in the world today, of even people here, there's sometimes similar experiences. There's been similar trials and similar burdens and similar difficulties that people have faced. And they've kept going and they've kept on living for God. And they've made it, and they've made it before God one day. And they've maybe heard Him say, "Well done. Well done." There are others who've run the same course that you're now running. There are others that have been in the same race as you. There are others that have run and faced the same obstacles. There are others who have run and become weary. There are others that have carried the same burdens. There's others that have run up the same hills. There are others that have faced the same temptations to quit running. There are others who've had the same struggles and burdens, but they faithfully finished their course. Listen, if they can make it, then you can make it. If they made it, you can make it. If they could keep on going, then you can keep on going. If they could keep on running, then you can keep on running. You know what? I think sometimes of families in our church, and sometimes I feel for some of you, and I hurt for some of you, and pray for some of you, when I know that sometimes some of you face family opposition or obstacles like I had never had to face. I grew up with such a godly heritage and Christian family that there's never been any really opposition against what I'm doing or how I would live my life or to be faithful to church. That was just natural. That was a part of growing up in generations of Christianity, Bible-believing Christianity. But for some of you, you have family that maybe doesn't know the Lord, or they've never gotten saved, or they're not living for Christ like they should. For some of you, it's very hard to say, "I'm going to be faithful to church, and I'm going to live for Christ, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how I'm going to lead my children, and we're not going to do this, and we're going to do this." Sometimes some of that's difficult, but can I encourage you, run on the race and do what God has for you, and do what Christ wants in your life. Run that race. Run that race. There are others. There are others that have been in the same shoes as you, that have faced the same obstacles or opposition, the same misunderstanding from family, the same maybe rejection of old friends, the same a lot of things. But they've made it. They've run for God. And you need to run for God too and do what He wants in your life. Why should we keep running on? Because there are those that have run where you're now running. Number two, because there are those in heaven that are cheering you on. There are those in heaven that are cheering you on. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." There are those in heaven that are watching and cheering for us. There are those in heaven that are cheering for us. Hey, keep running on. Keep running on, Sonia. Hey, keep running on, James. Keep running on, Tracy. Keep running on, Ashley. Keep running on, Trisha. You can make it. Keep on going. Don't give up. Marianne, maybe your mom's up in heaven today saying, "Keep running on. Keep running on." Got to lead Marianne's mom to Christ many years ago. It was a sweet time. She went to heaven, passed away with cancer, a battle with cancer. And she's been in heaven now for several years. Just keep running on. Keep running on. When you're running the race and you become tired and weary, hey, they're shouting, "Keep running on." When there are times on the course that you want to faint, they're shouting, "Keep running on." When you're facing those obstacles, they're shouting in heaven, "Keep running on." When the hill seems too big for you and you're not going to make it, they're shouting, "Keep running on." When you're carrying a heavy burden, hey, they're shouting, "Keep running on. Keep running on." In 1984, when my dad was killed in an accident on our farm, there was a very close friend of my family, especially my sisters, That wrote a poem for my sisters, for my brother, for our family.
This is what they wrote, right? I think maybe the day after my dad passed away. They wrote this poem called My Biggest Fan. My Biggest Fan. I remember now a bygone day of all the games I used to play. Another team we would meet, my only goal that team to beat. And on the sideline, my dad would stand. He'd raise his voice and clap his hands. Run, son, run, he'd proudly say. Keep on going all the way. He'd whoop and holler and give a cheer, or maybe sometimes shed a tear. And if I fell, he'd be right there to help me up and show his care. He shared in all the fun I had. My biggest fan was my dad. Now this earth is no longer his home. The Lord has called him to be his own. And on earth, the race must be run, although at times it's not much fun. My brain gets tired and my body weary. The days grow long and often dreary. But if I listen close with heavenly ear, I hear a shout and then a cheer. Run, son, run! I hear a voice say, keep on going all the way. Don't give up. Give it all you've got. And from the crowd that is blood bought, he'll raise his voice and clap his hands, for my biggest fan is still my dad. Hey, discouraged Christian, keep running on. Child of God who's carrying a weight, you carry a burden, you've got your struggles. Hey, keep running on. Don't give up. Give it all you've got. New Christian who's just started running the race, don't let Satan knock you down and put you on the sideline. Keep running on. Keep running on for God. Veteran Christian, if you're still breathing, your race isn't finished yet. Keep running on and be busy serving the Lord. Tired and weary Christian, perhaps the race has seemed so long, it has seemed like you've been running uphill for so long. Hey, keep on going. Keep on going all the way. Don't give up. Give it all you've got. Keep running on. Why should we keep running on? Because there are some who've already run. They've experienced what you're going through. Where you're now running, they've run. They've run. Number two, because there are those in heaven that are cheering you on. Number three, here's the greatest reason of all. Why should we keep on running? Because of the one who ran the perfect race. Because of the one who ran the perfect race. In Hebrews 12, it said this, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know why he was both the author and finisher of our faith? Because he finished what the Father sent him to do. He finished his course. What did he cry out on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. He came and did what the Father had sent Christ to do. He finished his race. He ran the perfect race. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured. Christ endured. Christ endured temptation from Satan in the wilderness. Overcame that. Christ endured more affliction and torment and pain and suffering than any of us will ever know or experience. Even the worst depictions that people can make of what Christ's crucifixion was like cannot even begin to explain it. Years ago, I showed something in our church where a doctor tried to explain just how horrifying and how awful it would have been in the realities of what it would have been like. And the whipping that he took, and what that cat of nine tails really would do to rip a person's flesh apart. On the cross, he would have been almost unrecognizable. He suffered so much for you and for me because he had to finish his race. He could have called 10,000 angels, destroy all these people, set himself free. I don't want to go through this, but he didn't. He finished his race for you and for me. Christ ran the perfect race. He was perfect and sinless. He was not guilty, but he didn't deserve what he went through. But all of our sin was placed upon him on the cross. He finished his race. He finished what he came to do. If we'd simply stop and take time to think about, consider what Christ went through, it would encourage us to keep running on. If we'd stop and look at Jesus and consider what he endured, it would motivate us to keep running on. If when we're weary and faint, we'd ponder what Christ went through in order for us to be saved, it would cause us to keep running on. I really don't know how anyone can ever turn their back on Christ and stop living for Christ. It seems unfathomable.
But obviously somewhere along the line, people stopped considering Christ. Somewhere along the road, people stopped considering Him. People stopped thinking about Him. People stopped pondering and meditating on what Jesus Christ did for them. I don't know how else we could give up the race. I don't know how else we could turn aside from the Lord if we consider Christ and what He went through for us. When you're facing obstacles, look to Jesus. When you're running an uphill battle, look to Jesus. When you're tired and weary, look to Jesus. When you feel like quitting the race, look to Jesus. When you're discouraged, look to Jesus. When you're carrying burdens, look to Jesus. When you want to quit running, look to Jesus and keep running on. Keep running on. Keep running on. Why should we keep running on? Because there are some who have already run where you're now running. Because there are those in heaven who are cheering you on. Why should we keep running on? Because of the one who ran the perfect race for us. Why should we keep running on? Number four, because you never know when your race is going to be finished. It could be that your race is finished this week, this year. It could be that Christ comes back this year, and for all of us, our race is finished, and we're going to stand before the Lord. It could be that God takes you home to heaven. Maybe you get stricken with cancer, a disease that comes and takes your life. Maybe you get killed in a car accident. My brother was 22 years old when he was killed in a car accident. And people would have thought, boy, he's got his life all ahead of him. He just got married. He had a future in front of him and the will of God to do. And who knew that the will of God was going to be that he would be soon in heaven. Let's faithfully run the race, because we never know when our finish line is. But would it be a tragedy if we stood before God and we quit and we gave up when God knew that our finish line was just ahead? Just ahead. Better make sure you're running the race. Make sure you're not sitting on the sidelines. You never know when your finish line is going to appear. You never know when you're going to die. We never know when Christ is coming back again. Christian, keep running on. Keep running on. Keep running on. Keep running on. Keep running on.